Introduce to you our speaker. He's already introduced himself. His name is Spencer Dozel. He's our worship coordinator. And a few weeks ago, Spencer, along with a couple other folks, was very brave and read for us a psalm that he wrote. We were in a series about writing our own psalms. Read a psalm that was pretty vulnerable. He kind of exposed where his heart and his head were in relationship to his relationship with God, and he wanted to come back and share a little bit more about that today and give you the rest of the story. So let me pray for you. I'm not going to try to top Billy's introduction. I'm just going to pray for you. Yeah, that was a shot, Billy. Jesus, we thank you for today. I thank you for my brother here. I thank you for your spirit in him. I thank you for the very clear work that you are doing in his life. So God, we are prepared to receive even more from your generous heart today. Even more of your hospitality through this man, through your son, through our brother. So we pray that you would bless him even as he blesses us. In Jesus' name, amen. Get it?
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it. I really like when a speaker at a conference is like, "How are we all doing this morning?" And then people cheer a little bit and they're like, "That's not good enough." I just am going to be like, "Who's tired this morning? Who's not doing great? Like, I'm there with you." So, as Bill said, a couple weeks ago, if you were here, I shared a psalm and a little bit about what's been going on in my life. And 3 weeks have passed. I'm still not okay, and that's okay. So just to catch you up to speed, if you weren't here for that, the last year of my life has been pretty bad. Back in the winter, my last two remaining grandparents, who I was very close with, both passed away within a month of each other. And then a couple months after that, I got a call from my mom saying that my best friend in the whole world had killed himself. That was not a fun winter and spring. And what I realized about myself is that I had a sort of functional anxiety that I've lived with my entire life. And these three very tragic events for me turned it into non-functioning anxiety. It's been a real bummer to watch my body kind of break down in front of me. I've been having panic attacks on a fairly regular basis and not really sure what I think of the world or what it looks like. And I've come to the conclusion that that is okay. I'm in an okay place because it's not something that's new. This is something that is kind of universal. We all experience tough times, and how we come out of them is what's really important. So I finally come to a place where I'm able to start taking stock of these things that are happening to me and start to strategize on how to not be this way anymore. There's a lot of hope in that. And so that's where I'm at. And I know that there are probably some people in this room who are in a similar place, and there's people who are all the way on the other end of the spectrum. And that's great. I'm happy for you, but I still think I've got stuff for you today. So I'm going to talk with you a little bit about, it's my favorite story from the Bible, and I think it should be yours as well. So in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is telling parables, and he tells the parable of the lost son. We often refer to it as the story of the prodigal son. And so if you are familiar with this story, here's a refresher. If you've not heard this story, a little bit of refresh for you is there's a man who has two sons, and the younger son asks for his inheritance. He basically spits in his father's face, and he goes away to a distant land, and he squanders that wealth. He parties, and he has this extravagant experience. And then his money runs out. There's a famine in the distant land that he's in, and he's he's broke. He's got nothing left. And so he starts working as a servant, and he's toiling for nothing. And then he remembers what it was like for the servants at his father's house. And he thinks it would just be better to be there. So that's where we're going to jump into the story. I'm going to read a little bit of the text to you, and then we'll talk a little bit more. Okay. All right. So this is the son after he's been bankrupt, and he is totally desolate. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" So a lot of us have heard this story, right? And we think about this prodigal son and this distant land, and we think of it as this, like, Las Vegas extravaganza where he's gone and he's partying and it's awesome. And some of us identify with that, right? That's that distant land where it's like, oh, it would be wonderful to take everything that I think is owed to me and to run away and just party it up, live it up, have a good time, and feel great. But I think we often forget about the second half of his story, that desolation, that bankruptcy. And I want you to know that sometimes that distant land never was the party or the extravaganza. Maybe your distant land is depression, failing marriage, a child who's distant from you. Maybe it's anxiety. That's my distant land, right? Your distant land is what's taking you away from your father's house, right? It's this desire to be, for the son, it was a desire to be something different, to go live a different way, and it wasn't good for him. But for me, right, it's the fact that my whole world has collapsed, and my body doesn't like it. And so my body takes me away from the presence of God. The circumstances that I've faced have totally ruined my life. And let me just say, I've had a great life. up to age 25, I had like zero trauma growing up. I had great parents who were very supportive of me. I never had to worry about a paycheck coming in. I never had to worry if there was food on my table or a bed to sleep in. It was great. I loved every part of my life. And then things that were totally out of my control came crashing down, and it changed me. I want to back up a second. The summer before my freshman year in high school, I had to read a book by Ernest Hemingway called A Farewell to Arms. It came out 90 years ago, so you've had a chance. I'm going to spoil it for you. So this whole story is about a man and a woman. She's a nurse and he's a soldier in World War I. And they go through these horrible circumstances and get through the war, and they fall in love, and it's beautiful. And then she gets pregnant, and it's wonderful. And then in the last 10 pages of the book, she dies in childbirth, and the baby dies too, and he just walks away in the rain, and that's how it ends. And at age 13, I went, that's my worst nightmare. That's the worst thing that could ever happen. And then, cut to 11 years later, and I'm sitting in the hospital with a dying wife and a dying child, going, oh man, here's my worst nightmare. And that's the beginning of it, right? It was that moment that changed everything, and then the losses that I experienced in the last year. I say all that to say that it doesn't take much for your well to run dry and for you to all of a sudden be in a distant land. Even though I wasn't choosing it, I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to have panic attacks. I didn't want to be sick like I am. But I'm here. And I'm in a position like the prodigal son to say, wasn't it better the other way? Can't I find a way back to my father's house? And so I don't know what that is for you, right? I don't know what your distant land is. Maybe it's chasing a career. Maybe it is like, I'm going to go blow all my money in Las Vegas. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you have anxiety. Maybe it's sickness or you're losing a loved one. Maybe you've pursued something so deeply that's left you in so much debt that you've got no hope for your future. Whatever your distant land is, you can recognize it. And you can say, wasn't it better in my father's house? And then you can head back there. And the truth in this is that our Father is waiting with open arms to accept us. I'm going to get back to that, but I just turned 27 a couple weeks ago, and my very wonderful mother and father bought me tickets to a theatrical version of one of my favorite movies of all time. It's a little bit dated, but it's essentially the story of the prodigal son. It's about a young man who was slated to inherit everything that was his father's, and he loses his father and he runs away, and he goes and finds a new group of people who are willing to support him, and it's really wonderful. But then he's faced with this moment where he's got to decide to come back. And so I want to just let that moment sit with you, and we're going to show it. Man, that was supposed to be a joke, and it really hit me again. Gotta love when God speaks through Disney, right? So your distant land, right, is the thing that keeps you from remembering who you are, right? You've forgotten who you are, and so you've forgotten who I am, right? That's what Mufasa says to Simba. And that's the story of the prodigal son, right? He forgets who he is, so he spits in his father's face and he leaves. But when he's totally bankrupted, he remembers who he is and he comes back. The beauty here is that your distant land isn't actually a distant land. It's a state of being, right? Mine's my anxiety. Yours might be your career or your marriage or whatever it is, right? There's no distance that you have to run to get back. There's just a look inward to see that you are your father's. Mufasa's command there to remember who you are. I really hope someday I can watch that without crying, but it really hits me every time. Because when you're in that distant land, and you realize you're in that distant land, what you realize is, I've forgotten who I am. I've forgotten who I am, and I just want to remember. And if I could remember, I could be better. And so the wonderful thing about the story of the prodigal son is it doesn't end with him in that distant land. He comes back, and his father welcomes him with open arms. Even though he says he's no longer worthy to be his father's son, the father says to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The son remembers who he is and he comes back. He's welcomed back. He's always going to be welcomed back. You are always going to be welcomed back. And so am I. If you remember the rest of the story, the older son kind of acts a little bit like a butthead when the father accepts his brother back. And then the father finishes off with one of the most meaningful things I've ever read. He says to him, and it's really for both of the sons. He says, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. All I have is yours. You are always with me and everything I have is yours. When we can remember who we are, that's what we remember. Our Father's image is in us and all he has is ours. Whatever you're chasing, money, career, experience, or whatever's chasing you, anger, jealousy, anxiety, depression, you can always remember who you are. You can always remember who you are and what you have in your Father. So what does that look like for us? What does remembering who I am look like? I wish I had all the answers to this question, because then I wouldn't still be in a distant land like I kind of am. But it starts fairly simply. Remember who your father is. Remember who the Son of God is and what he's done for you. And remember, too, that he's always here. Even when it doesn't seem like he is, even if it seems like you're in a distant land and he's back home, he's still here. If we could work to recognize that, we would start to see those things that are chasing us away become less significant and less significant until we found ourselves in our Father's arms. Remember what your Father says. I'm always with you, and everything I have is yours. I'm always with you, and everything I have is yours. When your circumstances start to choke you, they start to hold you down and keep you, remember that you have a link in your Heavenly Father. You can pray to him. You can say, I don't feel you, but I need you. Don't forget that you are a part of a wonderful community. When you can't hear God's voice, you can ask for help from your neighbors, from your friends, from your community. I can't tell you the value of that. It's too large. The amount of people who've heard my story and have vowed to support me is life-saving. That's the process of remembering who I am. It's telling people, I'm not who I was and I don't know who I am anymore, but I want to remember. And people like this guy right here, Bill Ludwig, saying it's nothing new, it's not going to drown you, and we're going to help you out of it. I'm sorry that you're not going to get a giant lion's head in the clouds to tell you to remember who you are, but my hair's getting pretty long, so remember who you are. Whatever it is that's keeping you away, remember who you are. And if you're solid, if you're good on this, help your neighbor remember who they are. Be there for them. Support them. I'm going to invite the band back up and just leave you with this image. And I'm going to pray with you all. As needy and broken and confused as I am, I want to pray with you all. And my hope is that if you are confused about who you are, if you're lost and concerned, that even just for a moment, you would feel connected again to us and to your Father. God, we need you. We are, many of us, tired and broken and confused. And we pray that you would be close. For those of us who feel they are in a distant land, we pray that you would show us your open arms and that as we come back, quickly or slowly, that we would see you running to the city gates to welcome us. That we would be overwhelmed by your love. That we would deny who our pain has made us become in favor of being your sons and daughters again. God, that we would give up our pride in pursuit of your heart, that we would see your goodness again, that the clouds would roll away to reveal your character and your love again. God, let it overwhelm us this morning. For those of us who are solid, who are with you, we thank you for that. And we ask for more and more. Let us be hope to our hopeless neighbor. Let us be kindness to our hurting neighbor. We love you, and we just want to love you more and more. We thank you for who you are, for what you've done, for what you do, and what you're going to do. God, in our times of distance, come to us just to say, remember who you are. Lord, remind us that we are yours. All that you have is ours, and that you are always with us. We love you.